60. Arrival. Claude, May 2205, Gamma Pavonis. Gamma Pavonis was an F8V class of star, which made it slightly bigger and barely hotter than Sol. The effect was a system with a comfort zone slightly farther out, but a sun that would look virtually indistinguishable from ours. I paradoxically found myself hoping that I wouldn't find anything in the comfort zone. The whole dialogue with Bill had left me freaked out and ambivalent about what I might find. I would actually feel better if there was nothing in this system worth defending. Well, you have to know that Murphy is listening for just exactly that kind of wish so he can give you the shaft. The planet sat at just over 100 million miles out, a gorgeous, shining, blue and green marble with bands and swirls of white, orbited by one larger moon and three smaller ones. Damn. I went immediately into orbit to determine if it included intelligent life. That would be a real kick in the pants. Fortunately, the planet failed, or passed, depending on attitude, the first obvious tests. There was no radio traffic, no web of exhaust trails in the atmosphere, no satellites, and no sprinkle of lights on the night side. That still left pre-industrial civilization, of course, but that would require a closer look. I sent a quick email off to Bill with results so far, then deployed the exploration drones. Mario had decided that the latest version Heaven vessels would come with enough onboard assets so that we could investigate a system quickly. This meant mining and manufacturing operations could wait for later. The drones took up polar orbits for a couple of passes, then swooped into atmosphere to check out interesting items. I spent 5 days on observation and exploration. I didn't want to screw this up, but finally, I felt confident enough to report my findings. No intelligence, thank God. But the ecosystem was as rich and varied as anything in Earth's history. This was a planet with everything stacked in its favor. The right size, the right distance from a sun with good solar output but relatively low UV, good-sized moons, plate tectonics active enough to ensure consistent surface recycling. The list went on and on. This was an ideal colony target. Except for the part where it was on the other's front porch. Now I would have to move to phase two. This system actually had a relatively low metallicity, at least according to the star's spectral lines. Perhaps that was why the others had rejected it in favor of the slightly more distant NN4285. But the next star out, GL902, was over 2 light-years farther than this one. I doubted the others would bypass it again. Well, low metallicity was a relative term. I was sure I'd still find more than enough resources for my purposes, even if it took a bit of work to find. There was a ping from Bill, then he popped in. Hey, Claude, I've been looking over your report. Sounds like a great planet. And that's the problem. It is a great planet. Great system. And if you're right, due to be harvested sometime in the next, what, 100 years? Bill looked down for a moment. Mario has been getting reports back from Bob's hitting surrounding systems. Combined with his own observations in Zeta Toucani and Beta Hydri, we're able to make a rough estimate of a system every 10 to 20 years. So they've only been at this maybe 100 years? We don't know how long they were working only within their system. It might have taken them 100 years to get started. Maybe the first out-system harvest taught them a lot. Anyway, the point is, there are a lot of unknowns before they started regularly harvesting. Bill had popped up a star chart while he was talking, the various star systems flashing a tooltip as he mentioned them. Jacques will be arriving at Delta Pavonis in 18 months. The positions of Delta Pavonis and GL877 are about the same distance from you, so if we see the others head your way, anything he launches from Delta will arrive here at the same time. So, hopefully, you'll have reinforcements. I nodded. That was something, anyway.